Some books have grabber titles. Then, by maybe page 30, you realize that the title was the author's best effort. Not so with a recent book by Mike Shanahan called Gods, Wasps, and Stranglers: The Secret History and Redemptive Future of Fig Trees. Yes, fig trees, which turned out to be fascinating. Mike Shanahan, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
So you have a doctorate in fig biology. Explain to me, what is fig biology?
Well, I studied figs in a rainforest in Borneo for about a year and a half. And I was studying not just the fig trees, but also the animals that came and ate their figs and dispersed their seeds. And also tied up in all of this is another set of animals, the wasps that pollinate the figs. And the study site where I worked had 75 different species of figs growing in it.
In one area?
In one national park, that's right.
My. So what's the fascination with the fig?
Well, they're fascinating in terms of their biology. Each of the species, and there are about 750 different species of figs, each of them relies on its own kinds of wasps to pollinate its flowers. And the wasps do this by entering the figs, which are really hollow balls, and they find the flowers inside there, and they can only lay their eggs inside there. So the fig relies totally on the wasp, and the wasp totally depends on the fig for their reproduction.
So the flowers are inside the fig?
That's right. They're hidden away in a hollow ball. And the only things that really should be getting inside there are the pollinator wasps.
Fascinating. What about the term stranglers in the title?
Well, some of the fig trees are what we call strangler figs, and they don't grow up from the ground like most plants. Instead, they start off in life high up on another tall tree where their seed drops when a bird or a monkey or a bat passes by. And then they send their roots down the host tree into the ground, and slowly these roots that they send down also wrap around and embrace the host tree until sometimes the host tree dies away and you've got a hollow core inside.
How big do these things get?
Well, you can get strangler figs that are growing from 40 meters up in a rainforest canopy or even higher. And they're also not just tall trees, they're colossal in their shape, their form. So not only do they send these roots down their host tree, but they can send roots down from their branches, creating this almost like a maze of branches and roots that form into this structure that is quite awesome to behold. And the biggest of these, the banyan trees, are capable of shading 20,000 people, some of the largest ones in India. They're huge. They keep on growing. As they grow bigger, their branches send out more of these roots that form pillars. So it looks like there are lots of different trees there, but it's actually just one large tree.
Pretty amazing. Where are we talking about? I mean, where do figs flourish?
They're found all around the tropics and the subtropics. You find 100 species in Africa. There's about 500 species between India and Southeast Asia and Australia. They're even found in places like Hawaii, where they've been introduced, and in New Zealand, where they've been introduced. And there's the domestic fig, which is grown in more than 70 countries now. But largely, they're tropical species.
You say 80 million years ago is when the first figs were evident, or that there's evidence of them?
80 million years ago is how long the relationship with their pollinator wasps has lasted. So there may have been figs around before that, of course, but what we know is that the relationship with their pollinators began that long ago. And that's when there were still giant dinosaurs roaming around, and when the continents that we have here today in the world weren't all in their current positions. They were all massed together in a big lump.
And then when the continents split, the figs moved.
Exactly, right. Yes, they moved around the world.
How did they become part of the people, of the different cultures?
Well, I think that a long, long time ago, when our ancestors were people wandering around hunting on a daily basis, the fig trees were pretty important, not only as a source of food, but also as happy hunting grounds, because these trees attract a huge number of animals that come and feed on them. And it would be a logical move for any early humans to stake out these trees and find some meat as well as their figs to eat. But they've become central to cultures all around the world. In Africa, Asia, Latin America, and in the Pacific, people have developed taboos against chopping fig trees down. They say that they are abodes of spirits, places of prayer. They are featuring in all of the major religions and in many of the less well-known cultural traditions around the world.
You tell a story in the book about a very tragic period in Kenya's history in Africa. when the Kenyans revolted against the British rulers. And there was an extraordinarily violent war. But the fig tree played a role in this. Can you tell that story?
Well, it played several roles, really. The fig tree in question was sacred to the Kikuyu people, who were the majority of the people in Kenya. And it features in their origin story, and it is a tree that people could use to commune with God. Now, during the revolution against the British colonial forces there, one of the leaders of the rebels particularly went out and prayed at his trees, his sacred fig trees, in order to give himself courage and strength. And when the British found out about this, they used to stake out these fig trees, waiting for him to come. Another one of these trees also served as a post office for the rebels. They had little nooks and crannies in the tree that they would use, like a post office box system. So different people from different groups of rebels and friendly villages would leave messages for each other and share intelligence that way.
Now, tell me about the redemptive future of the fig tree.
Well, what's special about figs is that they can produce their figs all year round, and that means they feed a huge number of animals in the rainforests. They feed at least 1,200 different species of birds and mammals around the world. And these animals disperse the seeds of thousands of other species. So by planting fig trees, you can encourage other things to come back and reforest areas that have been damaged by logging or by mining. And this is happening around the world. It's happening in South America, in Africa, in Asia. People are using fig trees to encourage rainforests to reform where they've been cut down and damaged.
And with climate change, is this going to change the fig and where it's growing? And can the wasp survive climate change?
Well, the wasps are fairly vulnerable. As adults, they only live for about 2 days. And in that 2 days, they need to find a fig in which to lay their eggs. So they have a little bit of vulnerability. And in a laboratory, when people turned up the temperature on fig wasps, their lifespans depleted very quickly, and they looked like they were in big trouble in a warming world. But actually, it may be that the fig wasps can cope with some of this climate change and global warming because they've experienced much warmer periods in the past. They can evolve fairly quickly because they have very short generation times. And also, the inside of the fig is a refuge from the heat. It can be several degrees cooler inside a fig than outside. And that's where they spend most of their lives anyway.
Mike, I don't think we could have imagined any of this about figs. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. It's been great talking to you.
Mike Shanahan is the author of Gods, Wasps, and Stranglers, The Secret History and Redemptive Future of Fig Trees. Now, you can find one of my favorite fig recipes, Lover's Figs in Honeyed Wine with Mascarpone, on the website, splendidtable.org.